Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And that tree that they cut down is very close to where I live. Very close. Drove by it just the other day. I've actually had it guarded by the police for the past week or so. Then they wrapped it up and then they cut it down this morning, as a matter of fact.
It lucked out. A lot of places not too far from here and in Pennsylvania, the last several years they've chosen them to go to New York for the tree. It's been terrific.
Actually, if you drive down College, obviously you can't see it now, but if you've driven down College Avenue before, it's kind of tucked in that little area. It's across from Clover Highlands, and there's a little there's a road called Clover Road that you can use to cut to go into Lamont. I don't mean the one that swings into Lamont, that you can cut over that's across from Clover Highlands going to Vermont. There's a little side street that you can make a left on right away. That's where the tree was. And they came down, they cut it down today, and it's neat. Neat that they did that. And if you've ever seen the Rockefeller Christmas tree before, it's thoroughly gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. They'll do a great job with this one. This tree is befitting of being in New York. All right, let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. The Celtics take care of the Lakers with relative ease.
Kyrie goes the length of the floor, floats a dangerous pass to Tatum. Somehow is able to save in the corner. Tried to throw it back to Kyrie. That was a mistake.
Oh.
Caldwell Pope picked it off, but took his eyes off Jason Tatum, who just rips the ball right back and is all alone under the basket.
Yep, and the Celtics won with complete ease. Tough night for Lonzo Ball. I mean, it's got to be tough when your brother's been arrested in China. I mean, think of this for a second. All right, let's just think of this. I realize the mall is attached to the hotel where they were. I got that part. But just think of this. Okay? Did you take basic social studies? All right? If you did, what kind of country is China? It's a communist country. Okay? Be extra careful. Number two, they're a UCLA basketball team. Okay? Louis Vuitton in Beverly Hills, Los Angeles, and Westwood, there's so many of them, it's like being in Manhattan with a Starbucks on every corner. It's the same thing with Louis Vuitton in Beverly Hills and Westwood. What? They didn't walk in and go, oh my goodness, I got a Louis Vuitton. Well, you see one every day going to practice. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, let's get to Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. Dennis, it is always great to hear you, my friend. I hope you're doing well.
Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. This has been a crazy topsy-turvy one this year. Let's start with the Notre Dame factor in all of this. They are the one team out of the 65 in the power group that is not affiliated with a conference, unless you and I both know they won't go to a championship game. How can they shake up this field, and what might a playoff look like with them in it?
Well, having a team that that plays 12 games instead of 13. If they're in the running, whether they will or not, they'll be on the couch December 2nd while everybody else is, the playoff contenders are putting it on the line. And frankly, they may have done enough already. At 11-1, they would have played six teams that were ranked at least at one time, either in the season or at kickoff. And I think they're pretty good. But that would be taking away, obviously, a Power 5 spot. And if Alabama and Georgia both get in, they'd be taking away three Power 5 spots, and I can't predict what the upheaval would be after.
Right. That's interesting, because I talked about this with the Big 12 a few years ago when Baylor and TCU were both there. I think TCU was third at the time, and then Ohio State jumped everybody, got to the four spot, and without a Big 12 championship game, Baylor and TCU are on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I wrote yesterday, there was considerable talk within the room that the week before that happened, why do we need to put TCU third if we have to drop them in case, Ohio State routes Wisconsin then it's a little easier if they're fourth. No. We have to put them where they deserve to be. Well, the first playoff looked in some ways ludicrous because a TCU team won by 52 points and dropped from third to sixth. And I think they learned a big lesson there that if you're going to do this every week, you really do have to think about what you did the week before.
Alabama is 2 in this, and I watched the LSU game on the plane. I thought I was going to watch it in my house, Dennis, but I didn't watch it on the plane on the way back because of the way the Michigan State game played out. And Alabama played well, but they're really banged up. How tough is this stretch run for them based on some of the injuries they do have, even though they're taking one five-star and replacing them with another five-star?
Yeah. I mean, even Alabama has a finite limit on the amount of players they can get in there and get production from. They have they're going to have freshmen playing on defense. They lost their two outside starting linebackers in the first game against Florida State, and then lost two more Saturday against LSU. Minkah Fitzpatrick got banged up with a hamstring. I think he's going to play, but it's been a long grind. And Nick Saban reflected that Saturday night. He said it was a costly win. And for him to say that, to admit that, you have to know that something's really wrong with the depth here. They've got two tough games left, at Mississippi State and at Auburn. I'm just interested to see how they deal with it.
And you mentioned Auburn, and Auburn has already played Clemson early in the season. Clemson played a great defensive game. They have to play Georgia this week. They've got Alabama. They play a big role in all of this. Does Auburn have what it takes to be spoiler, or do they have enough deficiencies to not be?
Well, they're more than that. I contend they control their own destiny for the playoffs.
Right.
Because if they beat these two teams and then get to the SEC championship game, they would have finished in the last 4 weeks beating three top five teams, one of them Georgia, twice. So tell me they're going to be kept out at 11-2 with that kind of resume and a really, really good loss, as you mentioned early on, against Clemson. So it's in their hands. Other than that, yeah, they could be spoiler by beating one or both, Alabama, or beating Georgia. I don't know if it matters. As long as Alabama and Georgia win their divisions and get to Atlanta, I think they can, one or both can still get in the playoff. Obviously, they'd have to reach their undefeated for both to get in the playoff, but I think they can both be contending for the playoff in Atlanta, even if they lose this month.
I was listening to Barry Alvarez earlier today on Sirius, and, he's the athletic director at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And was on the committee at one point. So at least he gave some insight as to how the committee worked when he was on it, and then, of course, gave perspective about being an athletic director. Say Wisconsin were to run it and were to win the Big Ten championship game. You and I both know their schedule is not terrific. Where can they possibly end? Can they end up out, or does 13-0 and a Big Ten champion just automatically get in?
Well, on its surface, you say they'd be in because a 13-0 Power 5 champ has never been left out in that scenario. Even Auburn in 2004 went 13-0 in the SEC, got left out of the BCS, but certainly would have been in a top four. That being said, to answer that question completely, you have to tell me who Wisconsin's going to be compared against on December 2nd. There's possibly an 11-1 Notre Dame. There's a Clemson at 12-1. There's a Big Ten champion, Oklahoma, maybe at 12-1. How does that match up to Wisconsin? And even if you put Wisconsin in with everything I just mentioned, or a Georgia that loses by three to Alabama in the champ game, given all that being possible at the same time, is Wisconsin one of the four best teams in the country? I can't answer that question right now, considering everything those teams have done so far.
Yeah, because we referenced the Clemson-Auburn game earlier. That's a quality non-conference game that Clemson plays on the road. Years ago, Wisconsin schedules BYU, and you and I both know that's a good non-conference game years ago, and then they have the bad fortune in terms of the schedule of, turns out BYU's not very good this year.
I talked to Barry about that this week. He basically said the same thing. To go to BYU out of your comfort zone in the Midwest, to go out there at altitude, that's challenging yourself. But no one knew this was an epically bad BYU team, maybe the worst ever record-wise. So, you know, you can't help that, but that is a reality when you're evaluating Wisconsin.
It's also a reality, and you see schedules put out years in advance. You roll the dice as to who's going to be good and who's not going to be good.
Well, it's kind of funny because the reason I just find I chuckle every time I see breaking news: Florida State is going to play somebody in 2024. I don't give two you know what if that's happening, but you know why they're doing it? They're sending a message to the selection committee now.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, to say, oh look, we scheduled big people. That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
And I refuse to write it. I refuse to pay attention to it. But that's all it is.
And that's, you know, it's interesting. Alabama opened with Florida State. Now, that's considered a 1-3 at the time, a titanic matchup. And now even that doesn't look like a good one for Alabama.
Yeah, I think it will be because...
the time, you know, because LeFrancois played. Because LeFrancois played.
They knocked them out fair and square.
Yep.
I mean, that's a pretty good defense. It is interesting that at the time of kickoff last week, LSU-Alabama, Alabama's previous 8 opponents did not get a single vote in the AP poll that week. You know, I don't know if the committee cares. Again, if they lose in the champ game, it may not matter, but it is interesting to think about.
Dennis, in basketball, they've done this where they've brought reporters in to take a look at how the selection goes, and that way you can at least get a feel for how it is. They now do this with this college football playoff. Did you participate in that at all?
I did a couple of years ago. It was neat. A lot of work, a lot of, I would say, work that didn't have to be done. I came to the conclusion that what we see on Tuesday nights is nothing but programming.
Right.
It gets eyeballs on ESPN, and you have to go back. The first the first week they do this, only 5 of the 12 that have appeared in that first ranking the last 3 years have gotten to the Final Four. So take that with a grain of salt. And everybody loses their minds over this and that. On Tuesday, by the way, nothing happened, okay? The
right.
Top four were the same. You know, we can talk about Oklahoma and Clemson and Ohio State and all this other stuff. Ohio State lost, they're out. Nothing happened.
Right.
And that was on for hours on Tuesday night.
Exactly. And you're right, it's a TV show. I mean, that's yep. what it is. I have to ask you about Iowa State and the run that they've been able to put together with Matt Campbell. What have you thought of that, and how much fun has that been to see?
It's great. Being an old Big 8 guy, I love it. I was there last week on the Monday after they beat, I forget who it was, TCU.
TCU.
I was there. And just really refreshing. The central theme of the story was all the crap that we have to cover every season and every week. It's nice just to sit here and talk to people about how good they feel. And that's all it was. You know, you had a third string walk-on quarterback beating Oklahoma. You had last year's starting quarterback excelling at middle linebacker, Joel Lanning. Matt Campbell, a guy people couldn't pick out of a lineup who'd been at Toledo for 5 years, now the hottest commodity maybe in the country. Mm-hmm. And these kids really are just, they're not, there's no third-party recruiting at Iowa State. They're not getting paid any money.
Right.
They came there as 3 stars and hope to get a degree. That's what's so refreshing about it.
What are your thoughts on Penn State? 7-2 and the 2 losses on the road by a combined total of 4.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how you get around a 3.5-hour weather delay. That's unfortunate. It's equally unfortunate to have that game at Ohio State completely under control, play one bad quarter, and you're out of it. You know, you're close to out of it at that point. But I think it's... I love college football. We JT Barrett was going to win the Heisman, and Ohio State was going to win the Big Ten, and then they don't even get off the bus at Iowa.
Right, that last
explain it. Yes, I can't explain it. So if you're asking me about Penn State, my default answer is I can't explain it.
Right. I mean, look, I broadcast the game, and the guy. He was 33 of 39, Dennis, and 4 of the misses were drops.
Right, and the last 16 in a row.
Yeah,
and then and 22. Touchdowns against no interceptions in the last 6 games, and then he throws 4 at Iowa. I thought they'd get a test at Iowa. It's
yeah.
a hard place to play.
I agree with
not
you.
Not terrible.
Yeah.
But to be run out, frankly, it looked like they got outcoached. And I talked to Barry Alvarez. He said he thought Brian Ferentz called a fantastic game, the offensive coordinator and son of Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. He said they went against Tennessee, they threw on first down, they did things Ohio State didn't expect. But even with all that, that doesn't explain 55-24.
That's right. Right. Well, what's interesting, Ohio State in its last 12 games, Dennis, is 9-3.
Yes, I know what you're going to say.
Is 9-3.
Yeah.
And the three losses were all blowouts. Now, you and I both know how talented they are, but how puzzling is that?
Well,
I mean, they're all three are really good teams, but still.
Yeah, it started really in the playoff when they got skunked by Clemson, and we, you know, hey, did Ohio State even deserve being here? You know, when Penn State got left out, and they, frankly, they should have because of 49-10. I don't have to say anything else.
Right.
But they go there and got, there may be three between this year and next year, or this year and last year, three All-Americans on that offensive line that played against Clemson. Well, they didn't. They didn't look like they played very well. And they get shut out. They get dominated at home by Oklahoma. And then for four or five straight weeks playing nobody, I wrote that week, it's like, I don't know how good Ohio State is. They played nobody. It's just a quirk in the schedule. These 14-team leagues, you're going to miss a lot of teams. And they missed a lot of teams along. They played UNLV and some Army. And then they play, you know, they play. They get, you know, Penn State had them handled for three quarters. And they come through. Well, that's great. That's fun. And then they just don't show up. So I don't know what to make of them right now. We know what the floor is. Unfortunately, we also know what the ceiling is, too.
Dennis, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. I always enjoy the chance I get to talk with you.
Steve, it's an honor. Thank you.
Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. We'll come back with more in a moment. Picks coming up, final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
20 by the 20th. Sunbury Motors Hyundai needs to sell 20 Hyundais by November 20th to keep up with manufacturer demands. If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Save $5,000 on a 2017 Hyundai Elantra SE starting at $15,170. Buy a $24,820 Hyundai Sonata for only $19,370. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all Hyundais to levels never seen before to reach their 20 Hyundai sold by November 20th. The nimble Hyundai Tucson is sacrificed by over $3,000 to an unbelievable $23,318. And the mid-sized Hyundai Santa Fe Sport has $46.99 knocked off. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty.
10 years, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai needs to be on your list for your next import vehicle. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Elantra and Sonata listed where SMC loaner vehicles.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
This has been a fun show today. I billed it as being a fun show when we entered, and it has met expectations.
And your brother hasn't even been on yet. Just getting warmed up.
Now we're going to the craziness.
Yes.
Oh, wait, we already experienced that. By the way, a quick note from Roger about battle pay when it came to listening to the Suits Open. I appreciated that very much.
Babble pay.
battle pay, whatever.
Not to be confused with Apple Pay.
Apple Share.
Apple Crisp.
Yeah.
Apple Pie.
Oh, I could go for an apple pie right about now. Oh, I was over today at a store. They have home-baked apple pie, and I'm looking at it like, oh, I can't do that. Thought about it, stared at it.
It's kind of like the scenario when you're right in the thick of it in the middle of the Penn State coaches show with head coach James Franklin, the wait staff. They're bringing out all that great food. We're not even close to 7 o'clock, and
you got Patrick Chambers tonight, too.
Yes.
It's Pat and James tonight, so... big double tonight. Okay, the court has denied the motion, and Zeke Elliott's suspension's back on. Oh, boy.
Sooner or later, that's going to stick, wouldn't you think? I mean, all this back and forth and ping pong and...
Look, I do understand the desire that if you think you are innocent, fight it as far as you can. That probably would be me. But then there's another part of me that, now this is from the outside looking in, where I'm sitting there saying if he'd just taken the 6 weeks, he'd be playing now no matter what. I don't know, you know. But if you think you're innocent or you think it's unjust, you fight it tooth and nail. And you know, I know me, I'd fight it tooth and nail. So that, I mean, that's... Well, it turns out, according to Ken Segarra of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the three UCLA players, LiAngelo Ball, Jalen Hill, and Cody Riley, will face 20 days of house arrest, and then they'll be barred from ever visiting China again. They're going to serve the house arrest over the next 3 weeks at the higher regency Hangzhou, where the Bruins team has been staying on their trip to China.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. Stock up for your tailgate now. Stock up for the weekend now. It's just a quick trip over to Reagan Street. Plenty of free parking. Store really well laid out. Plenty of help to get cases to the car. You have to start thinking about the holidays, too. You want to make sure you're fully stocked at your home for the holidays. You also want to make sure that you're stocked well enough so when it comes time to go someplace else, you don't go over empty-handed. And also don't forget about Brewers Outlet gift cards. Makes a great gift for anybody. Tells them how much you care. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, it is time for that magic moment that we have every single week where we get to find out, record-wise, where we stand and how far advanced the king happens to be.
I can taste them pickles now, baby.
I just want to know if you're going to share, that's all.
Nope. And you got to deliver them, too.
Well, that'd be fun. I'd do that. That's fun.
Road trip.
Get me back home. You know, which I don't really get to that often. So, yeah. So, what are the respective records at this point?
Okay, so Steve, you and I are currently tied. I have a whole bunch of papers strewn here together, trying to find the right one. Here we go. All right, Kevin currently sitting at 37-32. Steve, you and I are both at 34-25, Kevin taking the week last week with a record of 4-2. Steve, you went 3-3. I went 2-4, and unfortunately had to go to that place where no man wants to go.
Please follow Sir Brad. He's going to give you a private tour of the Pit of Misery.
Pit of Misery! Dilly dilly!
Dilly dilly!
Dilly dilly!
Dilly.
So. Better you than me.
POM.
The Pit of Misery. Dilly dilly. All right. So what are the games we have this week?
All right. So we have another six-pack of games, and I'll tell you what. This is college football fans, lockdown mode, just land on the couch and just enjoy all the games this weekend. That's what I plan on doing here on Saturday. So since the college football menu is so much better than the NFL, we're going to pick five college, one pro for this weekend,
okay,
for this go-around here. So,
great.
All right, let's kick off with number one, Georgia. They travel to Auburn. And as per usual, our leader will lead off.
I can't bet against Georgia. They're the only team to knock off Notre Dame. And Auburn's a very good football team, but they've thrown out a clunker this year. So I got to take Georgia, even though they're on the road.
Yep, I've got Georgia also.
Auburn.
Okay.
I think at home they're playing better football now than when they played Clemson early in the year. Auburn. I also think that Georgia outside of Notre Dame has not really been tested.
Alabama at Mississippi State.
I don't see Mississippi State giving them a game. I got Alabama easy.
Yeah, I think this is out of the all five of our games, I think this one's the lock. Alabama.
Well, you listen to them, they're talking about what the quarterback can do, and they run RPO, and you can do this and do that and the other thing. All it is just taking up space in the press conference. Alabama is going to win easily.
Mm-hmm. Another great matchup in the Big 12, although I don't think it'll rack up as many points as Bedlam did last week. TCU at Oklahoma.
I've gone back and forth on this one. TCU's got a decent defense. But Oklahoma, I'm not going to bet against Baker Mayfield. The kid can flat-out play. I'm going to take Oklahoma at home.
Yep, me too, Oklahoma.
2 weeks ago, I would have taken TCU. Now I'm taking Oklahoma.
Why?
I thought going into the Iowa State game, I thought TCU was the best team in the conference. Then they lost to Iowa State, and then Oklahoma won at Oklahoma State, and that swung my thinking.
That was a wild game. They scored a lot of points in the first half.
38-38, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. It was back and forth. It settled down a bit in the second half, but boy, what a game. The mark of two great quarterbacks, two pros, they'll be on the next level. And boy, do the pros need them.
So. Yeah, badly. They need something.
Man, the NFL's got issues.
One of the reasons why I figured we'd take five college games and just one pro game this week.
Yeah,
absolutely. Mean,
just looking at the lineup of NFL games, it's just like,
Well, it's almost like you don't care, you know. It's like they've seriously damaged their brand, and they haven't quite figured out how to fix it. And like you guys said earlier in the week, I think Steve said it, that they can't get out of their own way, you know.
No.
Whether the players are fighting on the field or, you know, just pick anything you want. Suspensions, should we suspend them? Shouldn't we suspend them? They're confusing their clients. They're confusing their fans. They're making their, what do you call it, the advertisers angry. They don't think they're getting a bang for their buck anymore. When did you ever think you'd hear that, you know?
Right. And see, I think the NFL's gone from being a league that was absolutely sure of what it was doing and how it was doing it to one now that guesses.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at economies like this where people, you know, everyone's it's good, it's bad, it's whatever, whatever. Most people are paycheck to paycheck, and they get tired of listening to the crying and complaining for people who are born with a God-given gift complaining all the time, you know?
And, yeah.
It's like, just play. And that's the key word, play. You play. Go play. Right. Be happy. And stop trying to be political and all this other stuff. Nobody cares. You're making people mad, and they don't want to watch the brand anymore. Right. So, okay, I'm done.
Okay, next game.
All right. This is, I think, the biggest game so far in Mark Richt's tenure as the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. They get to host Notre Dame Saturday night.
guys, Notre Dame is a really good football team. And you were right last week when you said Miami had not really been tested. And they took care of Virginia Tech pretty good. But I think Notre Dame is a step up, and Notre Dame will win this game easily.
That running game is strong, Notre Dame.
Yep. That running game is really good for Notre Dame. Offensive line, really good. Running game, yeah, really good. Brandon Winbush has done a great job with them. And to be honest with you, when your stadium is 18 miles off of campus, you have no home field advantage. There'll be probably as many Notre Dame fans there as Miami fans Notre Dame.
Yeah. Very good point. Connecticut has that issue.
Right. No,
their stadium's about 45 miles away from campus.
Right. So,
but at least Miami can recruit. Connecticut can't recruit because of it.
Right.
I get in arguments with people about it, but UConn's not very good. Anyway, next.
All right, fifth and final college game here in our weekly picks. I probably could have picked a different game, but I wanted to throw this one in just for the fact
that's
that...
That's a good one.
Yeah, just with the fact, well, with Steve
what
having...
What is it? I have no idea. Well, I don't know what game it is.
No, you don't. No, I texted Kevin, but not
take
you.
A wild guess.
I just come to the conclusion
I'm going to guess Michigan State, Ohio State, but it's only a
there
guess.
You
nope, you're correct. Because that is it, because I wanted to throw that in. That's the two teams that you have seen the last 2 weeks in person eyeball tests. So that's why I wanted to add that one in. So.
Unfortunately, we've all seen the games. I think I weighed it out this way. If they both play their A game, who wins? I say Ohio State wins if they play their A game, and they're a very angry team right now. I would not want to play them, so I got Ohio State.
Well, Dennis Dodd nailed it. I mean, the team did not get off the bus in Iowa City, and I just think they're just going to be buzzing out of the hornet's nest on Saturday. So just for that reason alone, I'm taking Ohio State.
Yep.
Ohio State is 9-3 in their last 12 games. All three were blowouts. Clemson, Oklahoma, Iowa. Something isn't quite right there. One week, JT Barrett's a Heisman Trophy winner. The next week, he is an also-ran in the quarterback derby in the Big Ten. The difference between these two teams, based on what I've watched in person the last 2 weeks, is Ohio State is better in the trenches. Ohio State wins.
Yeah, and Iowa is a tough place to play. I mean, Penn State got out of there. You know, that was a tough game for Penn State. That is a tough place to play. And
yeah, they're right on top of you.
If you bring your A game, you're going to get your butt kicked.
The other game, I was kind of going back and forth. We're either going to pick Michigan State, Ohio State. The other one I was kicking around to was Iowa, Wisconsin. That was the other one.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It'll be a good game, because you know what?
We should replace that with the Vikings Redskins.
Yeah. I mean, that game there, obviously Iowa is coming off a great win, so they've got some emotion. Wisconsin, Taylor's a terrific running back with one major fault. He fumbles the ball too much. And they just lost Quintus Cephas, their wide receiver. He's done for the year. Wisconsin, believe it or not, has seven guys that are done for the year. And Cephas, a big loss for them in their passing game. It's going to be a really good game between those two.
Who do you got?
That game's in Madison, right?
It's at Wisconsin, yes.
Then I would go with Wisconsin.
Yeah, me too.
Camp Randall's a tough place to play.
Yep.
Oh, anyway, Vikings-Redskins?
Vikings-Redskins. That's the only pro game. That's just really the only one that kind of jumped off the schedule for me.
That's just a...
I'm taking the Redskins at home. Love the quarterback. I think the Redskins are like one, two players away from being very, very, very tough out. I'm going to take the Redskins at home.
I said this earlier in the year. There's just no way I can figure out the National Football League and what happens last week. Washington wins at Seattle, and they had four of their starting offensive linemen were out, didn't play.
Yep.
Like, how does that happen?
It's a well-coached team that Gruden can coach. That threw me when I said, oh, Washington's going to beat the Cowboys. And I turned it on and said, oh, my God, the entire team is gone.
But they still played tough.
I just don't see Washington, the Redskins, getting two in a row just with being that depleted. I'm going with Minnesota.
I give Case Keenum a lot of credit. He has stepped in, and he's the backup quarterback. Now, he had started some with the Rams, but I give him a lot of credit for the fact that he's gone out there. He's performed at a pretty high level. And the backup quarterbacks are usually good for a week or two. That's the reason why they're backup quarterbacks. He's been long-term good. But this game's at Landover. I think overall Washington is still the better team, although I guess the Vikings have really come on, haven't they?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll go with the Vikings. What the heck? I need to pick up one on him anyway.
That's another reason why I took him, too.
let's just give it a shot here and see how it goes.
I'll be truthful, because after we did the picks last week, then the story came out about Ezekiel Elliott definitely going to play. Because when we made the picks last week.
Right. He's not playing this week.
Yeah,
he is not playing this week.
Yeah. Last week when we made the picks, we thought Zeke Elliott was not playing. Then we found out the next day he was going to play. So if all three of us would have took Kansas City last week, I probably would have just thrown that game out.
Well, I took Dallas.
Yes, you did, and I did not throw the game out because of that you and I are tied.
Nah, he's the difference, but Dallas's offensive line is dominating. I think there's a lot of running backs who would be really good in that backfield.
I learned a lot more about the Dallas.
He's not an all-pro now,
Well, I felt like I learned a lot more about the Dallas Cowboys last week listening to Tony Romo. I thought he's terrific. I think he's terrific.
You like Romo? Yeah.
Yeah, I do. You know why? Because I feel when the game's over, you learn more about the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
That to me is a good analyst.
Yeah.
That to me is a good analyst. I work with Jack and I work with Dick Girardi. I always feel like when the game's over, I think everybody knows more about the game because of the two of them. To me, those are the best analysts.
Right.
I mean, for someone who just got thrown right in to the number one color analyst chair for CBS. He's crushing it. He's doing great.
Yeah.
He has great energy to his voice, the delivery. You'd think he'd want to be back out there in the huddle. We know he's not going to go back out in the huddle. I mean, he's going to stay where he's at, but and don't
he's
blame
too
him one
fragile.
Bit.
Too fragile. But Kaepernick may be back, huh?
To be honest with you, one of these individuals has to be smart enough to just say, bite the bullet, hire the dude, who cares if he plays, and just end it.
Well, I like the comparison that I heard. I listened to a lot of different shows, and it's a good point. Is he better than most of the backup quarterbacks in the league right now? And the answer is yes. So, the NFL's got enough problems, but, I mean, there's a lot of guys taking a knee now. So, it's still a business, and you have to win.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He has said, I don't know if he's done too many interviews with all this going down, but he has already said if he gets back to a team and signs with the team, he's not going to kneel. He's not doing
that
anymore.
That's correct. He did say that.
You know what? But it's interesting. There was a Houston needs somebody, and the answer is no. It's obvious Green Bay needs somebody.
Yes.
And the answer is no.
I thought he was going there. Yeah. I don't get it, because without a good quarterback, you cannot win in that league. Forget about it. Good quarterbacks win, and there's not many left. And they got the NFL's got major problems. They're trying to protect the quarterback, but they're getting hurt.
God forbid, if something happens to Roethlisberger, all right, in this drive stretch, I would not be surprised if Tomlin would take a flyer on him. And I would, and I, and you would not hear me moan and complain about it one bit.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Of him joining, of Kaepernick joining the Steelers. I would not complain about it one bit because,
no.
I mean, you're all in for this year. You're all in. I mean, I keep hearing from so many football analysts, yeah, they're the best complete team right now in football, even better than the Patriots. So you got to keep that train going, but only if something, if they're in dire straits and have to make a bold move like that. I would not be surprised if they do that. And I wouldn't be shocked if they would, and I'd be all in favor of it if they would.
The only one I never wanted back in the league, and they let him back in the league, and that's Michael Vick. I don't think he deserved to be back. I'm an animal lover, and what he did was deplorable. And he never should have been allowed back in the league. Kaepernick, he made a political statement, you know, and I don't agree with the statement one bit at all, but he didn't kill anybody, you know. He didn't hurt anybody, and he hurt himself. And he made a lot of people mad, but to blackball him is wrong.
Yeah, I only look at it on a football standpoint, in terms of a team standpoint. That's all I...
Yeah, I agree.
You know what? I'm sitting there. If I think I can win, I sign the guy. And then you let him in, and you find out whether the skills are there or not, and then make an evaluation. At least, you know, just do it on a football. Just do it on
a
football evaluation.
He brought a team to a Super Bowl, you know? He played in a Super Bowl. He brought a team to a Super Bowl. You can name maybe, what, four quarterbacks in the league right now who have done that?
He was one play away from winning a Super Bowl.
I'd give the guy a shot, you know? I'd sit him down and say, look, I don't want the controversy. Yeah. I know you've got some baggage, but let's just go play ball. And that's what the NFL needs now. Just go play. And cut the crap and just go play. And you'll get your brand back. It's too big to destroy, but... just play ball, have fun, you know.
Well, remember, this is a league that had no policy on standing or sitting for the national anthem. And here's my problem with that. That's part of your program presentation. You didn't have a rule for it. I mean, if your socks are floppy, they fine you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's what's bizarre about this. They have rules about everything in this league and had no rule for that.
Yeah, and look at the NBA. He flat said, you will stand. That's it. End of discussion, you know.
Because it's part of their presentation.
Yeah. I love what Jerry Jones did.
It's part of the show.
Yeah. People are so afraid today of what people are going to think and say. Just make a rule, go with it. Then there's no question about it when you... you know, have discipline. This is the rule. But when you don't have a rule, you left it wide open. So, anyway, we want them to save it because we love the NFL.
Yeah.
They'll save it.
James Franklin, Patrick Chambers, both an hour from now joining us. And we will talk about the opening of the Nittany Lion basketball season tomorrow with Patrick Chambers. They've got a game Friday and a game Sunday, both here, then Wednesday night here. And football, of course, with Rutgers coming up Saturday. The homecoming game at noon will be on beginning at 10:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And don't forget, coming up tomorrow, high school football. It is the district championship game, Selins Grove and Shikellamy. Selins Grove broadcast will be on 94KX, 6 o'clock the airtime. 7 o'clock, the kickoff with Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt. And here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Kevin Herr and the coach, Dick Hort. 7 o'clock, the kickoff, and 6:30, the airtime. That is unless the basketball game goes four overtimes. And suddenly...
you brought that up quite a bit this week. It's like you want it to happen.
Oh, no, I'm just... this is one of those moments where, you know, you always have sports psychologists talk about visualization. And right now I'm visualizing the suit pacing back and forth. They're taking away my moment. They're taking away my game.
Well, it is going to be a phenomenal game. Countdown is on.
We'll be done by 6:30 with the post-game show, believe me. We'll be out.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Yeah, you have a great weekend too, brother.